morning we're going to turn to another passage in the New Testament. I've been doing a series of messages, as you can see on the screen, called Encounters with Jesus. And we've looked at a number of different people that have met Jesus in the course of Jesus' activities in the New Testament. And so this morning we're going to look at how Jesus has an encounter with a leper. I'm going to actually read the passage a little ways into my message. So if you've got it there, just hang on to that. It'll be up on the screen at the appropriate time. Dear people of God, imagine a man in his mid-30s with a beautiful wife and two adorable children and a third on the way. He has a good job and is in the process of building his own home. One day he comes home from work and shows his wife a small sore that's developed on his hand. He takes it easy at work the next couple of days, but the sore keeps getting bigger. And after a few days, his wife convinces him to see someone in town who's been trained in the area of skin infections. And the man says, I want you to stay with me for 2 weeks so I can observe this sore. That's what they do. And for 2 weeks, the sore spot just keeps growing until it covers most of his hand. Starts turning white around the edges. It doesn't cause any pain, but it looks horrible. At the end of the 2 weeks, the man with the medical training says, I've got it figured out. I'm sorry to inform you, you have leprosy. And you now need to leave your wife and your children, your home, and your job. And you need to go and live with the other lepers on the outside of town. And hearing this, the man is terrified. It's a death sentence. But the process of dying by leprosy is actually worse than the dying itself. You see, in most cases, a person's body just rots to pieces while the person continues to live. But that's not what scares him the most. He's more afraid of the complete isolation and rejection that's now only just beginning. Lepers needed to stay as far away from healthy people as possible. And when someone approached them, lepers were to shout, unclean, unclean. Lepers were never allowed to go home again to see their loved ones. This man would never be able to hold his wife or his children in his arms again. If he touches them, they will get leprosy for themselves. So the man goes off alone to rot, to die. His family would come to bring him food every day, but they couldn't get any closer to him than about 6 feet. And he watched his wife cry as she left the food, but was never able to comfort her. He watched his children grow up, but he was never able to touch them. He didn't want them. After a while, he wished that they wouldn't come anymore. Not that he didn't want to see them anymore, but he didn't want them to see him. He had lost an ear already, and several of his fingers and toes were now missing.
His face was horribly disfigured. He knew he looked repulsive. And he didn't want his family to remember him that way. Some days, he just wanted to die. And then, one day, something happened that this man and his family would never forget. Listen then to the passage in Luke 5, beginning at verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, the man's story in Luke 5 would have been somewhat similar to the one that I just told you. Luke, the writer of this book, was a physician. And Luke says that this man was full of leprosy. He didn't just have a slight case of leprosy. No, the leprosy had ravished his whole body. Now you might think, so what is this disease called leprosy? Well, it's a dreadful disease that was more common in ancient cultures than today, but it apparently still happens in parts of Asia and Africa today. And essentially, it causes damage to the body's nervous system, causing people to be unable to feel anything. Now, when a person goes blind, they can't see, right? And when a person has leprosy, they can't feel. And technically, the leprosy itself doesn't kill anyone. But someone with leprosy might maybe have a cut or a burn, and they can't feel anything. They don't even notice that it happens. Maybe they have a splinter in their hand or their finger, and they don't even know it's in there because they can't feel anything. And so they start to get infection, and that eventually leads to the loss of fingers, toes, and other limbs. And thankfully, there's medical treatment available for that now for people with leprosy. But in the days of the Bible, no such medical treatment was available. Lepers were cast out from society and were treated like garbage. They were despised, rejected and scorned, often with no contact with former friends or family. It was the worst form of disease in Bible times. Now, the man in Luke 5 had a very advanced case of leprosy. And one day he looked up and saw a group of people following a man who was teaching them as they were walking along. Here's the man's name mentioned. They call him Jesus. And he's heard about this teacher named Jesus who's able to heal people from their sicknesses. And as the group approaches, he does what the law tells them to do. And he shouts out, "Unclean! Unclean! Stay away from me! I've got leprosy! Unclean!" And like every other time, people in the group shrink back from him. sees the fear, the revulsion in their eyes. And he doesn't fault them for that. He understands why. But then something strange happens. As the others all draw back, Jesus moves in closer. "Unclean," the man shouts. "Jesus, I'm unclean." Doesn't he know the law, the man thinks to himself? If Jesus gets any closer, he's going to get unclean himself. And as the man hobbles backwards, he sees the look in Jesus' eyes. A look that he hasn't seen in years. He doesn't see fear. He doesn't see rejection. He sees only love and compassion. And as he sees this in the eyes of Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Can you hear the anguish of the leper in this question? He's sick of being treated like garbage. He's tired of feeling rejected and despised. And maybe some of us feel that way at times. You know, where you feel overlooked, where you feel mistreated and maybe looked down upon. And do what the leper does. Cry out to Jesus. Now the leper doesn't just ask. It's more like a prayer that he offers to Jesus. An all-out, tearful kind of begging as he pleads for Jesus to make him clean again. It's not like our half-hearted prayers at times. He's at the end of his rope. He has no other recourse but to ask Jesus to provide him with that miraculous gift of healing. "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And there's nothing wrong with that kind of pleading for God to cleanse us, for God to change us in that same way. Now, we can't force God to do anything miraculous for us. But God does invite us to come to Him boldly before His throne of grace and to ask God to cleanse us and to change us like the leper does here with Jesus. And notice then what Jesus does in verse 13. Jesus reaches out His hand, touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. He was clean again. Now, we need to notice what Jesus does here. It says that Jesus puts out his hand and touches him. It's amazing, if we really think about it, how Jesus reaches out to touch this person who is untouchable. How many years had it been since someone had touched him like that? And Jesus knows this. And Jesus reaches out to touch him. And it's interesting, the word is even stronger in the original language. It says that Jesus took hold of him. Jesus put his arms around him and maybe even hugged him. Imagine what that must have felt like for this man. And what I find so amazing is is the fact that Jesus could have healed this man, this leper, without even touching him. I mean, Jesus does that on numerous other occasions in the gospel where Jesus will heal someone from a distance. But not in this case. Jesus chooses to touch the untouchable. Jesus knows this man needs to experience love as much as healing. I mean, the healing would have been wonderful, but what this man really needs is love. What a radical thing for Jesus to do here, to touch him like that. According to the Jewish law, if someone touched an unclean person, like a leper like this, they would be declared unclean themselves. So why does Jesus do this? Well, first of all, Jesus does that for the sake of the leper. But Jesus never heals someone just to draw attention to himself. Jesus simply wants to show love and compassion to this leper. He's not put off by the man's rotting flesh. The touch says, I'm here for you. I sympathize with you like no one else does. I love you, he says to this untouchable leper. If you ever feel isolated or misunderstood or rejected like say this leper, Jesus says the same to us. I'm here for you. I care about you even when no one else does. I understand, says Jesus, and I love you more than anything else. And that's what Jesus does with the leper. Jesus touches the leper to show that he cared, to show that he loved this man. But there's another reason why Jesus did this. If we notice, just prior to this passage in Luke 5, Jesus calls his first disciples and he tells them that if they follow him, he will teach them how to become fishers of men. And this passage is immediately after that. And so this is really their first fishing lesson. Jesus shows these new disciples that if you want to catch men, if you want to catch people, you first need to love them. To become fishers of men, you first need to reach out and to touch someone. You need to look past the rotting flesh and the missing limbs, and you just need to love them, to accept them, and to embrace them like I have just modeled for you. In other words, if we want our neighbor to follow Jesus, we first need to show them a Jesus-like kind of love. We would be willing to maybe mow their lawn if they're unable to do that, or to shovel their driveway, but even more so that we would invite them into our home for coffee or for dinner, to get to know them and to find out what they need and then to meet that need. You see, too often as Christians, we do our best to avoid those people who are non-Christians, those who don't normally go to church. And especially those that are, you know, those people's lives are a little shady. We kind of keep our distance because, you know what? We're afraid that things might just get a little bit messy if we try to befriend them. Guess what? Things will sometimes get a little awkward. They will say things and they will do things that we're not always so comfortable with. But if we're to get serious about reaching out we need to reach out and to touch unsaved people, because guess what? They're not going to show up here on a Sunday morning on their own. They need to have people who reach out to them and befriend them and touch their lives in the first place. The leper needed to be touched. And Jesus touches him. Jesus doesn't tell him to come to church or to come to the synagogue to hear a sermon. The man would never have come. He wasn't even allowed to come because he was a leper. Jesus simply met him where he was and touched him. Who in your life needs to be touched? Who in your neighborhood or in your workplace needs a loving word or a loving deed done for them? Jesus wants us to follow his example, to love those who often go unloved. That's what Jesus models here for his disciples. If you are to be my disciple, says Jesus, then you are to do the same thing. And then Jesus does something very interesting in verse 14. Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." In that verse, Jesus tells the man to do two things. First of all, don't tell anyone. Seems like a strange command. But let's look at the second thing first, where he was to go and show himself to the priest and make an offering as a testimony to the priest. Now, throughout the Old Testament, stipulated that these offerings were to be made for the person who was cleansed from their leprosy. But you know what? That kind of healing from leprosy was extremely rare. The Old Testament mentions only three people who were cleansed from leprosy. And one of them, Naaman, wasn't even Jewish. In other words, only two people from the nation of Israel had ever been cleansed from leprosy. And such cleansing from leprosy was always miraculous. And when this man shows up at the priest's house, the priest knew that something amazing had just happened. It's possible that it might have been the same priest who had pronounced this man unclean some years previous to that. But now he's back again, fully healed. And the religious leaders of that day apparently had developed a list of signs that would accompany the coming of the Messiah. And one of them was the healing of leprosy. And so when this man shows up healed like this, the priest should have recognized that the Messiah had come. Didn't happen. The priest didn't recognize that in this situation. Instead, the religious leaders, they turned hostile to Jesus to the point where they eventually put him to death. Now, why did Jesus forbid the man to tell others about this miraculous healing? Why does Jesus want this miracle to be a testimony to the priest but not to the rest of the town? We see why. In verse 16, the news about Jesus spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. Now, I'm quite sure it was impossible for this man to be quiet about what had happened to him. The first thing he likely did after going to the priest was to go home and to kiss his wife and to hug his children. And they all rejoiced that their husband and their father was back home with them, fully healed. And certainly the man's neighbors and friends soon heard about it. And in no time, the whole town knew about it. Kind of like what happens if something dramatic happens in the town of Wingham, right? Soon all kinds of people show up to Jesus, looking for Jesus to heal them of their infirmities. And we see that happening repeatedly throughout Jesus' ministry, where one person gets healed, and soon everybody shows up wanting to get healed. And Jesus tells this man not to tell anyone, because Jesus knows that this is not the central purpose of his coming as the Messiah, as the Savior of this world. Jesus loves to meet people's physical needs, but he doesn't want people to come to them, to come to him only to have their physical needs met. Jesus wants people to come to him so that he can meet their greatest need. So that he can meet their need for forgiveness and his gift of salvation. Jesus wants people to come to him for spiritual healing, not just for physical healing. That's why Jesus came into this world, to cleanse people like us, to cleanse us from our sins through his death on the cross. And notice then what Jesus does at the end of verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In other words, Jesus didn't want the spotlight or the headlines in situations like this. It was more important for him to just get away and to have an ongoing intimate relationship with his Heavenly Father. And for that, he often would withdraw from the people who clamored for his attention, and Jesus would go into the wilderness to pray. And that's what he does after this situation. And what Jesus does there is he shows us the importance of prayer, to show the importance of us nurturing our relationship with God in our lives. And even more so when we find ourselves in the busyness of life, that we take the time to listen, to slow down and to listen to God. That's what Jesus does here. And so a question I want to ask you is this. Is your life sometimes in a rush? Are people and events clamoring for your attention? Well, the best thing to do at times like that sometimes is just to get away. Spend some time in prayer. Martin Luther, the great reformer who lived 500 years ago, used to spend 3 hours in prayer a day. And you think, really? And when asked what he did on really busy days, Martin Luther said he'd spend 4 hours in prayer a day. And Jesus models that for us here. Our fellowship with God needs to remain a priority if we want to be used by God in this world. So, do you want to be touched by Jesus? Or do you want to have the strength and the courage and the power to touch others with the love of Jesus? If we want to be touched by Jesus, we need to be ready to spend time with him in his word and in prayer. And when we do that, then Jesus promises to equip us by his Holy Spirit so that we can be used by him to share his love with other people. And as we sit at his feet and follow Jesus around the Gospels, we will start to catch the vision of how Jesus wants to use us to reach out to people with his unconditional love and grace. We will learn how Jesus wants to use us to serve him as fishers of men in this community. And how that always needs to begin with learning to love people as Jesus does. That we learn to love and touch the untouchable people that we often try to avoid in this community. We need to ask Jesus to help us to learn to love those that we would rather not love. To love those who don't experience a whole lot of love in their lives. That we learn to love and touch others in response to Jesus' unconditional love for us. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're amazed at the way that you reached out to people to show them your love, your unconditional compassion, for the way that you were willing to reach out and touch the untouchables of that society. We thank you, Jesus, for the way that you've reached out to embrace us despite the uncleanness of our lives. That you are willing to give up your life on the cross for us to cleanse us from our sin. Help us, Holy Spirit, to embrace Jesus as Savior of our lives. And help us not to think that we are too good to reach out to touch the lives of people who are often considered unclean in our community. Show us where and how we can embrace people, where we can touch people with the love of Jesus, and that we do so in response to your grace and your love for us, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray this. Amen.